Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And my friend Julia Rutherford Daly was on the program not too long ago, and I thought she was fascinating. And I asked a little bit more about her background, and I found out she's working for a company that it took my imagination away. The company is very interesting. And we have her boss with us today to talk a little. Chandra Cerrito is here to talk a little bit about the company that Chandra set up. And in essence, I was trying to, yesterday afternoon, get a bio together of what Chandra's company actually does. And she does so much that I thought I'd let Julia and Chandra kind of explain what they do. And it's a small group, I think mainly female management, and it's a small group. And let me just turn this over before too long to Chandra, but just very quickly, Chandra is principal of Chandra Cerrito Art Advisors, LLC, and Julia refers to it as CCAA. So if you hear that, then you'll know we're talking about Chandra's business. And why this intrigued me was because I was asked to do a couple of lectures over my career, various universities, of careers in the arts that aren't necessarily dancer, thespian, artist, et cetera, but still a career in the arts, still a member of the creative community. And of course, everybody knows that listens to my program. I'm an appraiser. I started off as a dancer and a painter and ended up, you know, going into appraising from a really circuitous route. But, and Julie's going to talk a little bit about this too, that circuitous route has benefited me. So, you know, the kinetic approach that I take to objects, for example, from my dance background, and also the archival techniques I take from, you know, being in education for a while. And, you know, so we want to put this, us three females, we want to put this out to those that are listening to us, that if you're interested in a career in the arts, there's so many careers we can talk about. And Chandra's living example that she developed, a multi-platform business in the arts that is not necessarily about being an artist, but it is kind of in a way. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So Chandra is an interior art advisor and a public art consultant. She has a BA in art history and a certificate in visual arts from Princeton and an MFA in sculpture from California College of the Arts. And then she, like a little bit like me, she worked for galleries, and she saw what galleries did, and she saw what consulting firms did. And starting in 2003, Chandra decided, okay, how about if I curate, you know, this is another little angle that she took. How about if I curate new museum exhibitions? And then she decided, okay, there's got to be some kind of a catalog system for what's being curated. So she developed a gallery quarterly, contemporary quarterly. And then she figured, okay, now that's kind of covers that. So I want to do a brick and mortar gallery in Oakland, California. And so she had that experience. And then in 2004, she said, okay, I want my own art advisory business. And this was kind of growing at the same time that, you know, us in Santa Barbara, we will remember Cottage Hospital reaching out to folks like Chandra saying, we want to do a whole system in our Cottage Hospital of Art for Healing. And it was right around 2004, 2006, I remember they started to work on this project, Art for Healing. By 2008, I know a lot of my artist friends here in town were either juried in or not into the hospital, living artists, into the hospital's beautiful collection. And it really has lifted a lot of spirits over the years. So Chandra said, okay, now that looks interesting. I want to do some kind of thing where I'm doing collections for healthcare, for corporations, for multifamily residential, for retail, for hospitality folks, you know, hotels, et cetera. And so on top of that, here again, this is why I need her to help me describe her own business. So she's doing that as far as the for-profit world, but she's also working for public art projects. That's, I don't know if any of you know about the difficulties in launching a public art project, not to mention the grants and the proposals and the whiteboarding and all this that go into that, the approval process, art by committee. I call it art by cats in a pillowcase. And so Chandra decided, okay, let's do that. Now she's doing public art policy. She's leading public art workshops, and we're doing public art in private development projects, which is, we've got a little flagship thing going on here in our mall, Chandra, that's a sort of five community galleries have sprung up in hard to lease spaces. And she's developing public art master plans and ordinances for cities and districts in Northern California. So you see, we have a little bit of art, a little bit of law, a little bit of public policy. We have all this sort of, and Chandra, I want to turn it over to you and Julia to help me understand Chandra Cerrito Art Advisory. And the interesting thing is we're using this, dear listener, as a platform for you to think about how art can be a career. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go and develop your MFA and start to paint. It doesn't mean that at all. And Chandra, please describe your company in a couple of sentences for us.
Sure, I'll do my best, but you did a great job. And thank you so much for having me, Elizabeth. It's really nice to talk with you. And thanks, Julia, for, connecting us. So I think of art consulting, which kind of is a foreign term to a lot of people. It was completely foreign to me when I was working for a gallery that in essence was actually an art consulting firm. That's really how they made their bread and butter, but had an exhibition space as well. So I learned about it through a back door. But what I think about art consulting is that it's a combination between curating and project management. It's sort of almost equally those two fields, both of which I feel like either I have a strong interest in, certainly with my art history background and following contemporary art. I very much enjoy curating and keeping my eyes open to what's happening in the art world day to day. So I love that aspect to it. But I also just happen to have that kind of mind that likes organization and can kind of, sort of distill chaos into a little bit of structure. And I think that's really another aspect of what we need to do when we sort of have a massive, sort of mandate. We need art throughout this building, or we need a completely new large scale work that's, for a site. It's just so amorphous, and yet mainly through experience, but also my sort of ability to distill things and think about them in a certain way has helped, kind of make the actual logistics happen.
So tell us what was springing to mind as you were saying that. I had an interview a couple of weeks ago with the Vietnam Vets Association here, and there's quite an active chapter, and they've been given a Vietnam era helicopter, 40 foot long. and it's not operational, but it was on somebody's land and they've been given this. And it is essentially, Chandra, part, the government owns it still. They lost it for a while, but the government owns it still. And the Department of Defense said to our Veterans Society, you can display it and you can essentially take ownership of it, not own it, but you could take ownership of it if you put it in a public space as if it was a work of art so people can see it. Now, they put out, the vets have put their fairly strong muscle group here, and they put out the call that they want a space in which they can put a 40-foot helicopter as public art. But the other part of this is that the government has said, we need it to be displayed in a way that's respectful so people can't crawl on it, crawl up to it, et cetera. So we need to get a creative community involved in how we're going to display this and where we're going to display it. So you got two problems here. They've got who's going to give us the land in which it will be publicly displayed. And the other problem is, how do we display it in a way that honors the fallen vets, et cetera? And so, I mean, I found it really interesting challenge, because now they're thinking about the public-private property that the airport occupies. And our airport is very unique in that part of it is dedicated to World War II vets. Some of the streets are named that way and this sort of thing. It's very interesting. Yeah. So I want to say to you, when we get back from the break, what are your two most challenging clients and how did you solve their problems? And I imagine Julia could help. Richard was giving us a sign with his hands that we've got to go to quick break. Hey, Richard. Well, anyway, so we'll wait for Richard to pull the plug for just a short time. But I want to reintroduce, I'm talking with a fascinating woman, Chandra Cerrito, Art Advisors, and she is her own company. And one of her colleagues is with us, Julia Rutherford Daly. And Julia has an amazing background herself. And I knew Julia when she worked at Santa Barbara Museum of Art, but I also knew her at the Santa Barbara County Office of Arts and Culture. So she holds a position with Chandra at the moment. Like I said, she curated for Santa Barbara County Office of Arts, and she also spent years at the Santa Barbara Museum of Art. She ran the annual fund. She was the lead curator, this is how I know her, of Race Strong Beyond Santa Barbara. I have a Race Strong, and I just love that show. She had a position in Spain at Gallery Send in Barcelona, I should say. she's got a dual BA in art history and Spanish. She's an MA from USC, my alma mater for my master's in art and curatorial practices in the public sphere. She worked with a Hammer. And here again, another show that I saw and I loved was 2014 Made in LA. And the Biennale, that we had some of our Santa Barbara artists that went back to the 50s and 60s in that show. Okay, Richard's saying we got to go to quick break. When we get back from the break, I want to hear of Chandra's two most challenging clients and how she solved their problems. Don't turn that down. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and Julia Rutherford Daly is with me, and she was on the program a while back, and I got into a conversation with her about other things she does in her day job, and she mentioned that she works with Chandra Cerrito Art Advisors, but they're based in Napa Valley, and I said, do you think your boss would be interested in coming along and speaking to us, because Chandra is a woman that took the creative life and developed her own business that's a multi-pronged business. And like I said, I was having trouble trying to put the facets of the business together, but she does art advisory in regards to the corporate world and also the not-for-profit world and the public art sphere. And then also public art policy. So there's a little, like I said, there's a little bit of law, there's a little bit of administrative, there's a little bit of curatorial, archival, art history. There's all those things that are kind of being accessed by Chandra in her work. And I asked her if she would talk about the two most challenging clients that she's had and how she figured out their problems for them. Chandra.
Yeah, well, that is actually a really hard question. And I think rather than thinking about sort of problem clients, which luckily I don't feel like I have very often, which is wonderful.
Oh, no, solve their problems. No,
Yeah, there's so many challenges with every single project, but I'd say one that just had so many, hurdles to overcome and problems to solve was a large public art in private development project that's in San Francisco. It's near Civic Center. It's completed now, but I think it might have taken a total of, could be 7-8 years. It took a long time. Very, very large project, 4 buildings, huge courtyard in the center, the size of a football field. And the developer was 90 in his 90s when he hired me. And was, incredibly impassioned about this project. Was also quite knowledgeable with all of his experience and had some particular interests in art that I would say are very classical, very, very traditional. And yet this is San Francisco. It is a very, innovative city. It was going to be next door to Twitter. It was it was not a site where you would do something sort of retro. And so it was an interesting challenge to marry the interests of the developer and the right artist. And I was just so happy to have connected with Lawrence Argent, who is an exceptional artist who had a breadth of approaches and had his own personal love for Renaissance and classical work, even though you wouldn't always know that from the work that he produced. But he could tap into that very genuine love of that entire, part of art history and truly connect with the client and came out with an outstanding project, multifaceted design, including a 92-foot high stainless steel sculpture, which we could talk about that for an hour of how many challenges that had. The other really intense challenge for that project was after the first phase, there was a second phase and the artist passed away very suddenly. It was not expected. And so there was an incompletion to the work. So myself and those people managing the project for the developer and the artist's estate really pulled together to do our very best to realize the artist's vision for the second half of the project. So that was incredibly difficult emotionally, but I feel like we just did as good a job as we could. And I think it really points to a key component of every project I do, but sort of magnified, and that's collaboration. There's nothing I do, I never go into a project and have my fingerprints all over it. It's really a result of who is working on that project, who's involved in that project, who cares about the results. And it's all of their input that results in the project. So that's really the one that comes to mind as having many, many challenges. And we literally could be here for hours talking about other parts of it. So
may I understand. So Argent, the artist, mm-hmm. passed away during this project.
Yes, we had installed the first phase and the second phase couldn't be installed because part of the site and the building wasn't constructed yet. So essentially there was a plan. There was a plan for what would be created. And some of them were part of a series of sculptures, for instance. So two of the sculptures were completely done and installed. Four of them had not even been fully designed yet. There was sort of an outline of what they would be. So we needed to kind of help complete those works and some other paving and additional sort of site work.
Wow. Fascinating. And so I can only imagine, I'm thinking, my gosh, you know, this is like a screenplay. It's like, I mean, there's so many different emotions involved. I can imagine that when the series of works were unveiled, that the artist estate would have just been so moved by the fact that, you know, it's like this artist lives again almost, you know, or lives through. I can only imagine there was probably not a dry eye in the house or on the courtyard when this happened. And the other reaction I have, Chandra, to this is, you know, as an appraiser, I've been an appraiser for 30 years, I've worked with a lot of artists who, you know, a museum will say, we want to acquire this artist's work, go interview the artist and write something up regards to the market. And so I've done that, and it's not easy to work with artists. It's another thing.
Yeah, and that absolutely has been a challenge on very few projects, I have to say. I've had incredible experience working with artists. I have found them really dedicated, really committed to getting the best work done that they can do, and working within a lot of crazy parameters, and really really just being a positive force. And so I feel like they really rise to the occasion, and I'm very honored to work with them in that way. And I hope that I'm helping them realize something that they feel proud to have made, and that hopefully will live well beyond them.
Absolutely. And Richard, are you there?
Yes.
Richard's
so
taking
Elizabeth,
a quick break.
I am.
Oh, there you are. Okay. So what I want to do, Richard, I want to take a quick break here, and then I want Julia to tell us what she does with Chandra's company and the projects that she's involved. That is so interesting. I mean, I can only say that there's a screenplay or a novel there. There's so many different levels to that, you know, and not to mention the engineering aspect, the public engineering, private engineering, and all of the resonances of, you know, getting something established that way. And in the middle of it, the artist passes away. Gosh, Chandra, what a story. Anyway, we're just going to quick break. We get back from the break. Julia is going to tell us a little bit of what she does with Chandra Cerrito Art Advisors. I'm speaking with Chandra Cerrito and Julia Rutherford Daly. Have come to know Julia, and I kind of coerced her into asking her boss, who I looked up online, can Chandra come and speak with us? I mean, I'm fascinated by this. And before the hour is over, I want to tell everybody, we all three of us have our own stories about how we have forged a career in the arts. And in spite of what our parents told us. So don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
All right, you're clear.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Julia Rutherford Daly, who we've known in this town for quite a while, as her work at the Santa Barbara Museum of Art, and also with the Santa Barbara County Office of Arts and Culture. She actually holds a position at the moment with Chandra Cerrito Art Advisors, and I coerced her into getting Chandra to talk to us about what Chandra does, because I was fascinated with this multi-platform business that Chandra's established. And the business is, I mean, in essence, the business I was trying to say, well, how many years has the business been around? But the business has been, that's kind of what we're talking about. The business has been around forever. There is no, like, I was thinking, well, 2004, she kind of established that with the gallery, but then it was 2006. It's not, oh, well, we'll just say over 20 years, we've had, Chandra's been in business doing what she does, which is advising large corporate corporations, commercial and not-for-profits. So not-for-profit organizations, for-profit organizations, and then public, private concerns, advising them about art in public
interior and exterior painting. Their fully customized designs, outstanding customer service, inspirational showroom, and incredible craftsmanship make them the top choice for all your kitchen or bathroom remodeling needs. Contact New Life Bath and Kitchen today to schedule your free consultation and visit them.
A hotel interior to build the new hotel, he would buy the hotel art for a song. And so he's got this huge, I mean, they're all huge. They're, you know, they're big pieces. And he's saying to me, well, appraise them, you know. So the difference between what he bought them for and what they're worth is phenomenal. But anyway, I digress. Julia, what, tell us about what you do with Chandra.
Yes. So again, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for having me back to your show. This is a really fun show to participate in. I've been working with Chandra for a little over a year, and I'm currently working as the marketing manager and registrar. And I think we plan to talk a little bit more about different careers in the arts. And I think this is an example of how I'm drawing on some past experience that I've had within working in the arts realm. So working as the marketing manager, not only am I working on communications to the public through eBlast, but I'm also working on the website and updating that with the artist database, which is really an extensive and exciting database of artists. Chandra has really developed an interesting, very comprehensive collection of artists that are able to be referenced for the various different projects that range so much. That database, I'm actually drawing on registrar skills, which I believe I was first exposed to the registration, the aspect of collections management and you know, registrar activities while I was working at Santa Barbara Museum of Art. So it's kind of a full circle in drawing on those skills there. So that is what I'm doing at the moment. I think it's interesting how Chandra was talking about how her company draws on both curatorial skills and project management. And I definitely, that's why I'm so interested in working with Chandra, because I feel like I have those two skills as well in working as a curator. I also tend to have that kind of organization bug where I like to facilitate projects and keep everything in line and moving along. So that's really what interests me and aligns with kind of my background as well.
I got to say, I'm smiling here because my partner has never had kids. And so he's, I was thinking of Julia's little boy, Rowan, at the moment. Little toddler. And I was thinking about this. And so I was saying to my partner, you know, we have a cabin that we're restoring up at the up Lake Arrowhead. So I was saying, well, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? And he's like, wait a minute, I can only do one thing at a time. No multitasking. And I'm the queen of multitasking. I have all these things going on all the time. But those of us that, you know, first of all, I think we have the right mindset for multitasking. But then again, you have to be a multitasker if you're a mother of a toddler. You just have to. So I know what you're saying, too.
Absolutely true.
Now I think
very efficient. You learn to be extremely efficient with the time you have as well.
Yes. Yeah, another example, you know, I because I was a single mom, I strung out various educational pursuits I wanted for me. So I went back for a master's when I was 40, and then I went back for a PhD when I was 50. And I remember, you know, here I am 50 plus, and I'm in classroom 20 year olds, and they're like, oh, you know, we have a 20 minute break, and I have a 20 minute break, and I've got high school age kids, and I'm out there cramming, you know, I'm in the hall really taking advantage of the 20 minutes. And they're like, you're crazy. You've only got 20 minutes. I said, but yeah, but you got to do it this way. You just have to. I'm holding down a business and raising kids, and, you know, so yeah, you just have to, I get it, Julia. You know, how do you feel that the projects that you're working with Chandra, how do they differ from what you did for us at the county? For example, you know, you set up shows, like here's a gallery show, here's a museum show, for example. How is it working with Chandra different from what you've done here?
Yeah, so I was, you know, in thinking about that question, I actually was noticing there are, in some ways, perhaps, in my opinion, there may be some similarities with my experience with the county and governmental spaces and some of Chandra's projects that are more public in the sense of either public art projects or Chandra with new development, and she can talk more about this, but interior spaces, for example, residential buildings. I know maybe you could talk a little bit more about Vesper in Oakland as one example of what I'm thinking, but how Chandra is installing artwork in a space that's not necessarily an ivory tower. So it's a space where the constituents, the people that are coming through, the residents, I guess, in that circumstance are exposed to this art, and they're not necessarily coming to visit the art like an art museum, but it's part of their everyday life in passing through the space. And so what I'm kind of finding and thinking about it is similarities between that and then a governmental building. So in my capacity as curator for the Santa Barbara County Office of Arts and Culture, I was really essentially a facilitator of three galleries in Santa Barbara. So the County Administration Building, the City Hall Gallery, and then the Bettoravia Gallery up in Santa Maria. And it was really interesting in thinking about those three spaces and the constituents who were coming into the building. So one exhibition at City Hall Gallery, The River's Journey, talked about the San Ynez River, and the artists had this really cool decal that we were able to get approval on the floor and these different things. And it was really interesting with that kind of theme of water in the San Ynez River, and then seeing people coming in to pay their water bill. And it was like, you know, these residents who are coming in to literally, you know, pay their city water bill, you know, cash or check or whatever their payment was, and being exposed to this exhibition. And so same with the two county administration buildings, a lot of people coming into the building to pay, you know, perhaps their property taxes, or maybe they're attending a board meeting. And so they're experiencing the exhibition or work that's on view kind of by chance. And I think it's interesting to think about how that is, you know, those types of viewers, how different that is than an art museum, where you have so many different, there's so many different things, there are aspects that are different about an art museum. You have security guards. You have, you know, a perfectly white, white-walled, or maybe not white-walled, but a gallery where, you know, you don't have signage that you're contending with when curating the space. You know, people are not allowed to touch things. You have a security, you know, a stanchion or whatever to keep the viewer back. And so, to kind of sum this up before the break, I'm actually finding some similarities between some of the projects that Chandra does and the governmental galleries, and how it's very different from an ivory tower art museum.
So let me get back from the break. I want to ask two questions, or have you guys think about this. Number one is the scandal that that we heard of in the London Underground, where a pizza parlor used an image of David, Michelangelo's David, and used it to advertise pizza as being the most Italian thing in the world. They used the whole sculpture, you know, in the nude, in the underground. And people that were involved in the arts, especially people that knew public art in private spaces, et cetera, and not private spaces, were saying it's an insult because, number one, it's, you know, it's a nude in the underground where it doesn't need to be a nude. But yet it's more than that. It's an insult because it's commercial use of a iconic, more than iconic work of art. And I want to reflect on that. And also my other question would be, when I think of what you were saying, Julia, that your constituents are different in various places. They're looking at things differently. I'm thinking of music and dance and how music, for example, can change the blood pressure in a public space. And this sort of thing. So I'm thinking of, you know, if there's any relationship between, I don't want to say coercion of the viewer or hearer, but is there a sort of a reading that's given by the public when they encounter unexpected art, and does it change the experience of that person in that environment? That question came to mind when you were talking about the gallery in Santa Maria. It's like, okay, you know that, I know that gallery well, and yes, you get a different clientele up there for sure. So how does that change? How does that art change the climate? How does it make you feel? I know, like sometimes in various cities, they'll play classical music, in the bus stations and this sort of thing. How does that have a visual metaphor parallel in the visual world of, you know, of what Shonda's doing? So, Richard.
Yes,
Richard. Oh, there we go. Can we go to quick break? And then we've got two important topics to cover when we come back. I am speaking with Julia Rutherford Daly and Shonda Cerrito. And Shonda Cerrito, Art Advisors, is represented by Shonda in almost a lifetime of work from her college years on, and probably before. She's been doing the same kind of work in a funny way, in an odd way. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we close the hour. We're each going to tell you a story about how art and our careers actually worked for us. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
All right.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Sturt. I have the honor of speaking with Shonda Cerrito, principal of Shonda Cerrito Art Advisors, LLC. She's based in Napa, but she works all over the country. And we're talking about all the things that the business does as an art advisory. And Julia Rutherford Daly is here with me, who's living here in Santa Barbara with her young son and her husband. And she has been involved in the arts. I've seen her name and known her throughout the years at the Santa Barbara Museum of Art, also the county office here. We're talking a little bit about art in spaces, and I brought up this controversy of the sculpture of David's image being used on a poster in the London Underground in its entirety. So it's obviously a nude, a beautiful nude youth, and the outcry over that, over the fact that it was a nude one, and it was being used for commercial purposes, and they ended up, Shonda, as you've probably seen, putting a fig leaf over some interesting anatomical details, and that was even further insulting because now it's kind of a travesty of an iconic image, and it made people think about art in a public space. Everybody stopped to a grinding halt. Yes, I'd like for you to speak about that, Chandra.
Well, this is definitely not my particular area of expertise, but honestly, I had not heard that story until you told me. But clearly, that is an image that has been used so widely and so extensively, and probably in less respectful ways than even what you're describing. So it doesn't actually surprise me at all. It is amazing when you think about how long ago that sculpture was made, and the fact that just about everybody on the planet would recognize it. That's sort of a testament to art, right? It certainly surmounts time, you know, time constraints, and joins us culturally. So I don't have such a difficult time accepting that it would be in a pizza parlor. It has kind of entered the sphere of kitsch as well as the highest art we could imagine. So I'm personally not offended by it.
Interesting. And then the other question, both of you, would like very quickly. And Richard, did you say we have to go to another break before we actually
yes,
close?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so let's go to quick break. The other question I want to address is, does looking at visual art or an encounter, unexpected encounter with visual art in a space change a person's perception of the space and maybe even themselves? That's a question I want to ask. So let Richard go to quick break and then we'll get that question out there. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Julia Rutherford Daly and her boss, Chandra Cerrito of Chandra Cerrito Art Advisors, LLC. And it was interesting to me that I wanted to know what an art advisor did, and I'm finding out. And, you know, we're just talking a little bit about how art affects people. Very quickly, Chandra, do you find that to be true, that you can change the climate of a room with a piece of work?
Yeah, well, I think one super important part of the work that we do as art consultants is actually trying to anticipate that, how it will affect the architecture, but more importantly, how it will impact those people walking through the space. And that becomes especially important in places that are sensitive, like healthcare environments and hospitals, where people might feel very disoriented, they might be feeling scared. They might be going to visit somebody and they're extremely upset about it. You just really have to make sure you're taking into account somebody's mindset and what could be perhaps triggering for them in that very sensitive time frame, time of their life, or what could perhaps bolster them a little bit, perhaps provide a little bit of uplift, a little bit of distraction. Sometimes people really are feeling low. And what's been really enlightening to me in working with patients directly who share, you know, what they want to see in the art program is often they don't want to see all rainbows and, you know, sunshine. They actually want to feel like they're not alone, you know, that times can get stormy and there can be sort of a sense of moodiness or contemplation. And they, you know, that can in its own way be sort of a comfort to those who are having a difficult time. So we are very, very tuned into that. And I know that, you know, artists we have worked with who have placed their work in hospital situations, maybe similar to your cottage hospital, have written to these artists. They've tracked them down and have said, you know, either their loved ones or they have been so moved by the work.
I have to say that if you listen to NPR, there's a game show where, you know, they have a panel of comedians and they give, you know, which is most likely here. And I mean, one of the questions was, if you are a person that's suffering from depression, what actually brings you down more? And the answer to that was the correct selection was a greeting card with rainbows and birdies and pretty colors and unicorns, that brings you down more, not doesn't raise you up at all. Yeah. Julia, just very quickly, because Richard's giving us, we have just a minute or so left. Can you tell us your parents' reaction to the idea that you wanted to be an art studio major?
Absolutely, yes. So very quickly, I did my undergraduate degree at UC Santa Barbara, and I always knew I wanted to major in Spanish, but I had an interest in art. And I thought, how do I go about this interest I have? And so I actually tried art studio for a year. I worked with some local professors here. And I remember my dad, who actually was an art major from the 70s in San Diego, thought it was the coolest thing ever and was all about it. And my mom, who was a high school teacher for 40 years, basically said, what are you going to do with that? And so, long and short, I ended up studying abroad in Barcelona. While I was in Barcelona, I realized how interested I was in art history and majored in that, and have been able to find a career in the arts. So
fantastic. Thank you both for being with us.